Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Larimer, today joined by Mr. Terence Corrigan. Let's get into the news of today. And of course, the big story, which I'm sure most of our listeners have already heard to some degree, is that the VAT increase has been withdrawn. The Minister of Finance announced last night, late after midnight, that essentially, as far as I understand, the budget will effectively be withdrawn and the VAT increase will be halted through in Parliament. And so, as promised by some of the ANC's new coalition partners, Action SA, Rise Mzansi and such, there will in fact be no VAT. No VAT increase, at least. Now, the reasons as to why this has happened are very different depending on who you ask. If you ask the DA or the EFF, they are claiming that the reason that the VAT increase was withdrawn was because they were on the verge of maybe triumphing in court. I think it was about 11 o'clock last night, Helen Ziller from the DA issued a statement saying the DA can confirm reports that lawyers acting for the Minister of Finance have approached our lawyers proposing an out-of-court settlement in the matter the DA brought to interdict the VAT increase. We've, on the other hand, seen the ANC and the parties who supported the fiscal framework in Parliament saying that this was as a result of internal deliberations, discussions, and that, you know, they've changed their mind because of the sort of, it was clear that there was a desire for the country to not implement the VAT increase. It also is not clear where the money is going to come from, because of course the need to increase VAT was a very real need. The budget is going to have a significant shortfall if VAT was not increased, and government really doesn't want to drive up debt anymore. Well, what is the option? There are many people, including us, who say that spending needs to be cut, that there is wasteful expenditure on a variety of things, including, for example, the inflated prices paid for BEE procurement. There are some, like the EFF and MK, who say that there must be a wealth tax or corporation tax. Doesn't seem to be clear yet what the ANC's alternative is to the VAT increase, whether it's just going to be cuts or something else. Terence, firstly, on the politics here, what do you make of this? Who do you think actually won this battle? I saw very quickly afterwards the DA put out something saying that we've won, we've defeated VAT. I know the EFF is cheering this, saying that the finance minister must resign because he can't get a budget together. But of course, Action SA, Rise Mzansi, they're claiming victory for themselves, saying that they're the real reason VAT increase was stopped. What do you make of all these disputed claims about who's the big winner here?
Well, to any of those claims, I would simply give the same answer. Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? This represents a massive climb down. The ANC had somewhat inexplicably nailed its colors to pushing a VAT increase through, you know, something enormously unpopular, and was eventually led to back down. My sense of it is that this is something that probably became increasingly uncomfortable with. But I think the defining problem for them was that it looked very likely that they could lose. The DA's case had certain constitutional overturns, things like whether the executive gets to sort of make these decisions without parliamentary approval. And my own sense of it is that they're a very strong case. And I think that the political fallout, not just for the ANC reputationally or for those parties that have supported it, but for the credibility of the whole of the South African state and the Treasury, which I think remains a rare island of probity, at least as far as probity exists within our state. Those would have been, as a certain former head of government said, too ghastly to contemplate. So yeah, you know, and I think I think this was also becoming a massive political liability. So I think when the chance came to step away from it, It was something that was seized on with gratitude. So now, of course, everyone's going to be trying to claim credit and weaponize the decision. The big question, as you say, is where does the money come from? That's a big hole you've got to fill. There's been some speculation in the press. Health and education perhaps could be on the chopping block. Essentially, I don't think you can touch grants because that is actual money in people's pockets. It's not the kind of behind the scenes thing that makes your queues longer or, you know, has these subsidiary outward facing effects. But at the end of the day, it's a question. It's 20 years of failed governance and 20 years of anemic growth. This is all, you know, creeping up and jumping on our back now.
I think that's exactly right. There are no more good options left for the government. And I see there's still a bit of confusion as to what exactly happens now. Is the fiscal framework, which was passed in the assumption that there would be this VAT increase, going to be withdrawn and have to be voted on in Parliament again? In which case, the potential exists once again for the kind of ANC's very delicate coalition of all these small parties to fall apart, which I think was definitely happening in this case with the parties that initially supported it suddenly kind of changing their mind and backtracking. I see the EFF is accusing Enoch Godongwana of, quote, running the Ministry of Finance through causing chaos and confusion, and that this is tantamount to him withdrawing the budget again. But, Terence, the question remains, you know, when the choice is between the ANC of hurting the social services that it kind of has as the bedrock of its electoral support, its offer to the electorate, right? They say, we provide education, we provide health, we provide grants. Is the ANC really going to cut that rather than make any kind of economic reform on the ideological stuff?
Look, I wrote a couple of weeks ago that there are multiple constituencies that it has to modify. One is its grant dependence. Those who are very reliant on state support, and that's also one. People will know that I'm a bit of a welfarist squish on this. I think that there's a compelling logic to that. The second is the civil service. A big part of South Africa's middle class draws their living standards directly off the fiscus. Then there's a sort of two-part constituency, politically connected business people, you know, legitimately getting tenders, and then also the illegitimate types. I think ironically, while I would say that is a logical order to arrange those priorities in, politically, it's the other way around. So the most obvious thing to do is, you know, do away with preferencing. You know, we've said that there's 150 billion rand right there, 17 billion in direct costs and 132 billion or whatever it is in indirect costs. The Zondo dividend, as Gabriel Krause likes to call it. You can do that. What can we cut in the state and in the civil service bill? That's an unpopular choice, and it's not an easy one. And I think that would send shockwaves through the ANC. But that would also be something to consider. But as I say, people who I think have the greatest political heft are likely in that in the high stakes patronage network. So I really don't know what they're going to do. We just keep on escalating the debt, and you know, hope one day someone magics it away. I don't know. Let me just say that if I managed my personal finances like that, assuming I had any money at all, and I went to my bank and said, "Oops, you know, sorry, I've maxed out my three credit cards, you know, just get me some slack." I don't think that'd be sympathetic, but that's pretty much where we are fiscally.
Yes, exactly. And it shows, I think, as you've really well laid out, just kind of how difficult the options are for the ANC. They either irritate their sort of CADA network, or they directly, very demonstrably hurt their most important block of constituent voters, that is poor, low, middle class, and working class South Africans, who are either fond of or have relatives who use the social services who require them.
Let me just make one final comment there. I suspect that the area that gets hit is the sort of investment type of thing. So it's not that you firing teachers, but you are not providing money for school upgrading. It's not that you are firing people in the Department of Transport, but you're not upgrading the roads. And that, unfortunately, or you're not firing soldiers, but you're not giving them weapons to shoot with, which is now makes our military something of a joke. And unfortunately, this is one of the main reasons I think that the South African state is in the state it's in.
Yes. Can I just say, though, that I actually think that this has been a pretty positive episode in our country's parliamentary and democratic history. We have had a very substantive discussion on a particular policy proposal. In this case, it was VAT. There were arguments placed as to alternatives were given by various political parties. There was proper discussion, and then politics happened. People made deals, they traded horses, etc., metaphorical horses, and we ended up with public pressure forcing the government to change its course. And this is exactly the kind of government, as messy and as gruesome and as worrying to investors and many analysts alike, that all of this was. I struggle to see this as anything but actually a step forward for South Africa's political system. And in fact, I hope we have many more battles like this, because Parliament must be the center of our national debate. I don't know, Terence, what are your thoughts on that?
As Roger Whittaker, great folk singer and also personal friend of my late father, once said, there's a new world in the morning, so they say. But yes, exactly. I think that progress, unfortunately, is going to be accompanied by pain. And I think this is, get used to it. Buckle up, because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you found this show interesting. We will, of course, continue to cover what the latest developments are. We'll see what government's next bite at the sort of fiscal apple looks like. What's getting cut, what's not getting cut, what taxes are going to be invented or not invented. Hopefully no new taxes, because otherwise we might start this story all over again.
No new taxes.
But I can't help but think that maybe the poll that we being the Institute of Race Relations, put out, maybe also convinced the ANC that it's not a great time to die on the heel of VAT. Which I think it may be a lesson that they've learned. But anyway, we will watch with interest. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a wonderful day. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.